being a little bit bigger than everyone else, they automatically sort of categorise you into a contact sport.
This is Genge.
Then yeah, the path sort of, it carves itself in that sense. It was good for me.
Connor, Genge.
Or I don't do small talk.
So over 2 days, I sold 11 PlayStation to the England team.
Your neighbours like, they're robbed.
Back with episode 8 of the Brown Ups, and we got two great guests on today, Ellis and Ty.
Introduce yourselves, guys.
I'm Ellis.
I'm Ty.
So, Ellis, why don't you tell us about yourself?
I'm 28. I grew up in Bristol. I've known Ty for 14 years. I'm a local boy. I'm from Norwest, and I now play rugby. So,
nice. Who do you play rugby for?
I play for Bristol.
Sick. Ty?
Yeah, my name's Tyrone. I'm from Keynsham. I run a luxury concierge business selling high-end watches and high-end fashion. I've knew Ellis for the same.
Shiz, you brought these guys in. How do you know?
I just known him for a long time. Like, Ellis through mutual friends, and Ty, I met you through some business-related thing.
Probably, right? Yeah, it makes sense. Yeah, probably.
He got a unit next to someone else who's in a similar business, and I think I just bumped into him like that, basically. But yeah, we got a lot of mutuals.
Nice. What you start us off then, Ellis? How did you get into rugby? How did it start? How did you end up playing for Bristol?
Just from young age, really, I guess, being a little bit bigger than everyone else, they automatically sort of categorise you into a contact sport. I tried all martial arts and boxing and all that sort of stuff, but that sort of reciprocated into school. So my old man just took me down to rugby club, and yeah, I fell into it. Socially, I think it was a good dynamic for me. I was quite a sort of intrinsic kid, a bit of an introvert in terms of quite shy and didn't really want to talk to anyone except for the people from where we're from where we grew up. So it was good for me. It made me a bit more socially aware and, mixed that demographic a little bit.
Nice, nice.
Did you always think you were going to make it rugby, or were you just like half?
Nah. To be honest, I didn't even know you could be a rugby player. Like, obviously, everyone sort of knows football a lot better. And the salaries don't really aren't that flattering in rugby in comparison to some of the other sports like football, basketball, or fighting, anything like that. So, but it sort of skyrocketed after England won the World Cup in 2003, and became a bit more lucrative. So the awareness definitely grew then, and yeah, it sort of took off, and it looks after itself in that sense. Everyone always asks the same question, how'd you get into rugby? It sort of like gets into you, you know, like it finds you itself, and that they sort of like bring you into academies, and yeah, the path sort of, it carves itself in that sense.
Nice. And what other stuff you got going on?
I opened a gym in Leicester. So I left Bristol in 2015, went up to Leicester Tigers, played 7 years there, captained them to a trophy in 2022. We won the Premiership for the first time since 2013, I think. So yeah, it was a good year for me.
Oh wow, sick, man.
Yeah, no, it was incredible, really. We went from being 11th to within 18 months winning the league. So it was
crazy.
It was a good way to finish, yeah. And during that time, I spent the last 18 months sort of setting up a gym, and obviously when COVID hit, everyone thought that was it for sport in general. So I spent that sort of 6 month period when we weren't necessarily playing week in, week out, just sort of thinking, what can I do after rugby? I set up a gym called Sin with my friend Sam.
So do you want to plug it? Is it like a website or something to get Sin?
To be honest, we're a boutique, so it wouldn't necessarily benefit anyone.
So is it like one of the, as a PT, so you do PT?
No, so boutique in a sense that it's an independent gym. We're not like a pure gym where you roll out the same gyms. They all look the same, I guess, unless you go to Knightsbridge and places like that when they're a bit more upmarket. But
yeah.
Yeah, we're very different. We've got some decent aesthetics and good lighting in there. I guess that's the market we're trying to crack. Sort of
bringing
a budget sector with high-end sort of lighting and stuff. It's going well, man. Sin Leicester.
Fair play.
Lighting's important now, isn't it? Because a lot of people go to gym just to take photos.
Well, like, exactly. Tie. Like, tie, yeah. So that's what we sort of targeted, was we thought, where are gyms going? Gyms are always going to be physical, I doubt, for maybe another 1,000 years until you can put a headset on and actually get physical benefit from...
The way AI is coming up.
Yeah, that's what I mean. So we'll have to play catch up with that. But our idea was, let's make a sort of a friendly place for people. We don't really want like a sweathead gym. like time. Nah, but we want people to feel comfortable taking pictures in like nice bathrooms and stuff like that, but for like an affordable price within sort of 40 quid. So,
oh, nice, man. Sounds cool.
No, it's good. It's good. Come up and train.
Nice. Yeah, yeah, man. Definitely. Definitely.
Have you seen that gym in London? I think it's like 350 a month, and you could put your clothes in your locker and they come back to you washed like the next time you come in. It's
you
mad.
If you got money, you could do anything you want in London.
Yeah, it's crazy, isn't it?
Yeah, anything you want.
Ty, how do you get into the luxury concierge business, bro?
So I first started selling Jordans for, I was making like maybe £30 profit off a Depop.
On each pair, yeah?
Yeah, sometimes even like 50, sometimes I'll probably lose, sometimes I was getting scammed in that, and then just kept selling Jordans. Further I got down, the more people I met, and then I could get them for a lot cheaper in bulk, buying like, started to buy 200 pairs at a time, getting them imported from Hong Kong.
Wow,
I started making like £100 a pair in bulk, and I had people buying like 10 pairs at a time.
Mad.
So yeah, and then now I sell like Louis Vuitton, discontinued pieces, watches, high-end buggies, cars, and yeah.
That's it, bro. I got to be connected with you out there.
Anything. Not anything, but yeah.
Yeah, man, I got to be connected with you out there. Yeah, for sure. Buy some stuff.
I haven't sourced a Lamborghini yet.
We had a similar thing where we got scammed on eBay. You got scammed on eBay back in the day, didn't you? Hard.
Yeah, I got scammed for 340 quid. It was 363 tens. Or was it an 83 ten? Nah, I'm a £640 actual pound. Yeah. I borrowed it off my old man to buy three phones, and those phones were going to sell for double. And I was like, why is it so cheap to the guy? He goes, oh, it's because bulk. But bulk for three phones.
Yeah, when you're here, yeah.
And I was there like 13 years old. Like, yeah, God. Anyway, it took me 3 years to pay that 640 quid back to my old man.
Yeah, that's crazy. Yeah.
No. I didn't tell, like, 2 years maybe, but it was chewing gum. It took so long. It was like, this was going to be the biggest line. I was going to get like a few hundred quid off of these phones. That all went kaput. And then I had to spend all this time just like a few quid here. I paid £640 back in pound coins and 50p.
Yeah, that's crazy. But going through that, through your adolescence, is probably one of the biggest lessons you've ever learned.
Yeah, for sure. Have you ever taken any L's like that, where it's like you found the win and then it all gets taken away from you? You lost your supply chain and
plenty of times. It's greed and being naive. Well, for me anyway, I can't really speak on someone else's mistakes.
Yeah, we were saying this, isn't it? It's the greed.
We said it's the greed, isn't it? When you start seeing money,
everything else is irrelevant.
Yeah, because we all did similar things. Like, I used to sell like Visu jeans at school. Obviously, same thing from China, whatever. And you were selling like Tiffany as well, weren't you?
Yeah. Tiffany & Co.
And that was all on eBay. And you could kill it on eBay back in the day, just buying stuff and selling it. But then you get scammed by one person and it eats your profit from like 100 sales.
Right. It's heartbreaking.
So you still big at Jordans then? Is Jordan still the trainer?
I still sell Jordans, but the niche is not the same anymore. A lot of people, even young kids, have started to resell, so it's not as big now. It's more like Louis Vuitton, Dior, Celine, high-end companies.
It must be interesting dealing with the kind of people you're going to sell that stuff to, like
yeah.
I mean, you get all walks of life, right?
Yeah, it is a 24-hour job though. Like the thing I was saying to Shiz the other day, having an equilibrium with it, it's like, it is hard to do. I have people contacting me 1 a.m. I need a bag, I need a t-shirt. Like, some things aren't manageable, but
yeah,
when there's a will, there is a way. So I will always try my best to achieve that.
Do you ever worry that your business is like cruxed on that supply? I always think with mine that if certain things stop, then I'm screwed. Do you ever think that?
Yeah, I think that every day. I got Amex credit cards, and I'm thinking, if this happens and this, but yeah, like one day I can have loads of money in a bank, the next thing I'm 40k in debt. Like, it happens quickly within a blink of an eye.
Yeah, man.
That's half the fun. Like, it keeps you on your toes, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because when stuff like that doesn't happen, like bad things don't happen, you get lazy, you get complacent. And you know what happened to me like last year? I lost money. And it makes you get back into gear and want to make more in it. But before that, I was comfy, I was cruising, everything's going right. And then when you lose it, it gets your hunger back, you know?
Yeah, no, I agree with that. I do agree with that.
For sure, the worst L's, I think you look back on them and you wear them as a badge of honor once you got out of it.
Yeah. At the time, it's the worst thing in life. I sleep for days on end. I can't even leave my bed enough. And they hurt me.
Those tests are savage. You must have had some tests, Ellis, going through, like, when you think, like, oh, my career, this is happening, or even with, like, your business that you've opened, Have you had things where you think, like, oh, this is going to happen, it doesn't, and things get taken away?
Not quite to the extent, I guess, you do in buying and selling. The membership sort of set up with the gym that we opened up in Leicester, we sort of got promised a lot of corporate membership, and it was all done sort of verbally and on handshakes and I guess just hearsay, and it didn't come to fruition. So it sort of stung us in the first few months. We lost a bit of money in terms of memberships because we didn't hit where we need to be. But yeah, like you said, in future, everything's going to be in ink and on paper for me. So I guess I learned a lot from that very, very quickly.
Yeah, you learn it. It's like every single bad thing that goes wrong, you carry PTSD from it so it doesn't happen again, doesn't it?
Yeah,
that's great. That's a good way.
You need like PTSD in each area so you don't keep doing the same thing, you know?
Yeah. Like it's even like if you're dating someone and then she acts as you like a PTSD, like you know that I can tell she's on the way out. So you just know how to behave. And it comes down to even when you're dealing with a supplier, you know that this stinks. This is dodgy, bro. I got burned bad last time a supplier was doing this.
Right. But at the same time, it makes you procrastinate on a lot of deals. Like I've lost out on a lot of deals from previous mistakes, but it's better to be safe than sorry with it.
Shiz was saying this actually about it's people who get defeated in the end because there's a healthy amount to carry and then...
Yeah, some people just totally give up. They take a couple L's or something doesn't work out for them and they just go into like a normal life, just living a normal life and just carrying on and they just become like a normal person and they're not interested in doing no business or taking no risks. And I've seen that happen to a lot of people when they've just, you know what I mean? Like, you can't give up.
No.
Yeah, of course.
Like, even with that crypto thing, like we're saying, like, I've lost money on loads of them, like, here and there, but I could have become, like, adverse to risk and not put money in, then I wouldn't have made the big win to make back for the losses. You know?
You can't just
give up because you've taken a couple losses, you know?
No, of course.
Yeah. What's going on? What would you say is the worst for you when in terms of, like, where you've maybe been overcautious and lost something? You ever had that happen?
Yeah, because so I had this one recently. I don't know, I was talking about it a couple of weeks ago, saying we had some guy, some ex-banker from America, checked him out. He worked for like Merrill Lynch. He's like a director. And he wanted to offload like, I don't know, like something crazy, like 50K in BTC or something, like 50,000 Bitcoin, not £50,000.
Wow.
And he wanted us to make the deal for him. And the cut was like 3% and he wanted to sell it in, I don't know, I can't remember what it was, like 2.5 mil lots. So there's like 150K to be made on each one. But like something wasn't adding up. And obviously we didn't want to get someone we knew. So we were trying to get like a exchange or someone to make the deal to mitigate risk. And they kept asking for more stuff. And we're like, this sounds off. And they'd be like, just try us. And then in the end, we're like, if these guys ain't going to do it, we ain't going to put our money on the line because, you know, it's not worth the risk. Like I'm not going to end up owing someone 2.5 mil, you know, for something I was going to make 3% on.
Yeah.
Sometimes you just have to let it go. It's not worth the risk.
And sometimes, especially when your back's real against the wall, I start to try and rationalize why it could be worth the risk. Like maybe that like thing that didn't quite add up is legitimate, you know, because they try to explain why the little inconsistency in their story don't work out. And then you start to like, maybe he's not a crook.
You justify like the red flags because of your greed, because you want the money. Like I was telling my other guys working with me, like, it should be fine. But in my head, I'm thinking like, this is a massive red flag. But like, as long as I'm not taking the risk, it's cool if we get these other guys to sign the paper.
Yeah.
But that's what happened with the turkey thing, wasn't it? Like, we ordered the gloves and they turned up short and then we paid again and they didn't turn up and he's making excuses and they kind of seemed legit excuses, but in the end, it just ended up.
Yeah.
This is a mad loss. Like,
it was crazy. Mad. So right when PPE was kicking off, I had like our business accounts set up and like work that I'd worked my ass off for years and years and years, like building up this money. And then the opportunity came where you can make a fortune from gloves. And I'm talking like you could have done single deals, just make 30 grand here. And as many gloves as you could sell, the deals were there. So not only have I got this supplier in Turkey who is charging like £7 a box and I was charging like £8.50. He's got endless supply. I bought 1,000 boxes. They all come fine. And then next I order more, 10,000. And I start to run before I can walk because I just think, shit, this guy's delivering. And I got all these orders up my ass. So anyway, $272,000 later, I send it over to Turkey in bits because I kept getting tracking for parts. And I was like, just screw it. I can already see that like that 10,000 boxes is nearly here, but it wasn't. It was like ghost tracking numbers. So in the end, I've got all these customer monies who have paid me up front, $272,000 in a hole to some guy who goes MIA in Turkey.
That's crazy.
I nearly bankrupt, man. It was like by a skin in my teeth, 2 months.
Yeah, that seems crazy.
Are you talking about gloves, like actual pairs of gloves?
Like disposables, vinyls, whatever.
Okay. They were going mad. They were like liquid gold. They went from being like £1 a box to £8.50 overnight when COVID hit.
Yeah, because I remember you ringing me every day because I found the supplier somewhere. I can't remember where I found it, some website. And you rang me like, we've done this many sales. When this comes through, you 40K. And like next day, I'll be like 60K. And then,
yeah, it was mad.
And suddenly overnight, like nothing's turned up and it's just gone full reverse.
Bruh, I worked out. It was going to be the first month I was ever going to make £1 million a month. And I went from making £1 million a month to £300,000 in debt. Yeah, and I was like, I remember being on my sofa and I was like running the numbers. Like on my, I was like, right, this person's been, I was like, oh nah, I'm 300 in a hole and I haven't got, I can't even get the money together. And it took 2 months to try and like sell stuff I had and got it together. And we got out of the hole, luckily. But the caveat to it all, right, is I had a plane load of PPE, or so say I had a plane load of PPE coming over, and I bought that car there, the Goldwing. And I remember I loaned money to get the car and I said like, right, yeah, this car is symbolic of the plane load coming over and that plane is paying for that car. And it's like the wings. And then I put the car up on Instagram. The next day I found out I got robbed and I felt sick. The car represented even worse. I was like, oh, I need to get the money back for the car. Fox. I was like, I'm screwed, bro. And I was thinking like the fact that now it was wings and it reminded me of the PPE. I didn't even want the thing, you know, I didn't even want to see it. Yeah.
Like major buyer's remorse. Like, I hate buyer's remorse. Bro. You ever looked at something that you bought and then you need the money and you're looking at it like, oh, why did I buy that?
Yeah, yeah. I've done that a few times. Nasty, man. That happened to me the other day.
I literally feel sweaty thinking about it. Like the way I feel.
I'm sweating for you.
I was in a meeting when I found out, I got a text and it was my supplier texting me because we need to speak about our friend in Turkey. And I knew straight away that we'd been robbed, you know? And I was like, yo, I got to get out of the meeting. And I'm just walking and I felt like pins and needles in my forehead. I'm like, bruh.
About to pass out.
And I literally had people. Oh, yo, it was a PPE definitely arriving today. Definitely arriving today. Yeah, I was like, definitely. And I had like, not only did I have a load of debt, I had a load of people like going like, I need this PPE. I got customers who need it.
Who was this PPE being supplied for?
It was being supplied for everyone. A lot of like corporates.
Like everyone needed it.
Yeah.
Remember the first box which landed? You had some like Turkish guy pull up in like a G63 to collect all the gloves.
Yeah.
He somehow helped you get some of the money back. Do you remember that?
Yeah. It's crazy. You knew someone in Turkey, you managed to get $20,000 back.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Some random guy from London.
But where was the rest of the money though? Why could he only get $20,000 back?
He got I don't know. I don't know what happened with the money. In the end, I just thought $20,000 is...
Yeah, it's better than nothing. Of course it is.
But he got away with $1.5 million, this guy.
Yeah, that's
some
mad.
Guy got knocked for $500,000.
Crazy.
3 years later, he was still like, I'm going to court, I'm getting this. And you know he's not getting anything. He's just fighting a lost battle.
Yeah,
you know?
Of course.
You got to make peace with this shit. Or give
nah, you do, you do.
Yeah,
you're right.
It was weird, yeah, because I was on FaceTime to him and I was like, oh, by the way, I need to send you more money, but I need your ID. And the guy is waving around his driving license on FaceTime to me, like it's normal, like he's not scamming us. Took a screenshot. It's his real name, real driving license, real address, everything in it.
Yeah.
It's like he didn't plan to scam, but he kind of just like, you know, just kept taking money off people. But then, yeah, it was weird, wasn't it?
Yeah, man, it was
like
crazy.
The world's stupidest scammer, but...
Yeah.
You probably did a year in jail and you come out £10 million in Turkey. So
it's crazy.
It's made for life.
What about you, Ty? How do you make peace with that? How do you make peace with the loss?
I'm probably the worst person to ask when it comes to stuff like that. I let stuff like that eat me up for years on end. Yeah. But near the end of it, that I can't say things like that happen twice. Like once it happens once, that's it. If something happens like that again, yeah, I'm definitely in the wrong trade or my head's definitely not in the right place.
Yeah. So what happens if it's something that's like, it's nothing to do with anyone being a prick. It's nothing to do with anyone like wronging you. It's just something out of control, you know, like stock got lost or.
Yeah. When it's things like that, I don't even take it as a loss. It's part of business, isn't it? Like you can put £10,000 on ads a month and really no one knows you're going to get sales. You're just gambling the price per click. Your name's getting more publicly put out there either way. Like it ads is like gambling to an extent.
Yeah.
But the thing, when it's people like, it involves people around me or like in hindsight, looking back at it, I don't even
so
know.
You be, so you're saying like.
So like when it involves people around me, usually like if someone's gave you a warning, oh yeah, you shouldn't be doing business with that person. Then yeah, that's your own fault. You can't like, so everyone's like, oh, well, why don't we go da 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 or find this person or why don't we, you try ring whoever to get it sorted. But in the reality of it, it's your own fault. You shouldn't have been doing business or doing anything with these kind of people.
And I think it's like when you do something that it could be anything, when you know you shouldn't have done it, that beats you up. Like it could be over small money and it can just annoy the shit out of you because you know you shouldn't have done it. Yeah.
Of course.
That's annoying, isn't it? When someone wants to like, say you're out, someone wants to ask, can I borrow £5?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I'll give you £5. If yeah, I borrow yeah. it to you and you don't give it back to me, yeah, I'm going to like
nuts.
Hate you in my head.
Yeah, nah,
you
know of course. I mean? Yeah, it's
yeah.
not.
Yeah.
You have family ask you for money or can I borrow it? But you really, you know, they're asking to keep it.
Yeah.
And then,
yeah.
And then each week you try ring them, they're avoiding you. You don't see them for weeks. So
yeah. If someone asks to borrow five is the worst kind because a tenner is my limit, you know? A tenner, I'll lend a tenner and I won't be embarrassed to say, yo, where's that tenner you owe me? That fiver, I feel a bit like so I don't even want to give a fiver. Yeah, like, I'll buy you your McDonald's. Or borrow 20 quid, bro, because I'm not going to be asking. And that's right. So I start hating someone because they owe me a fiver and they haven't offered it up. Yeah, I start looking like, bro, you disrespectful POS.
Yeah, it's just like the etiquette, isn't it? Like if you borrow money, pay it back without me asking for it.
Yeah, yeah,
you know
yeah.
what I mean? Because if you ask for it, I'll give it to you. You know what I mean? Like you said, your family, if they want to borrow it to keep it, just say, I'm struggling. Can I have a wanna? Like, you know, normal. Yeah,
of course.
Cool.
A lot of people in this day and age, though, if something goes wrong, they don't want to pay other people. Like, they're not paying out their own pocket. No one got any morals nowadays. Like, people, if someone's forgot about money and they owe money, it's a year down the line in their head. They don't owe money anymore. They're not I've had this with family. I've let family borrow money. I'd say like, and send to them, can I get my money back? It's like, yeah, I ain't got no money. Next thing, they're buying cars and that.
Man.
Like, it's mad.
Have you seen that people borrow money as well? This new age, me and Shiz were talking about this, that people start to justify a narrative. Like,
yeah why they got a reason locked up.
But he had this, or, yeah, but he already has that percentage of the business. Like, bro, we shook on a deal. You said you paid back, and now you're changing a narrative to justify robbing
me. That's crazy.
It's like a tenner thing. Like, oh, why do you need a tenner? You got this car. Like, what do you mean?
Yeah, no,
it's the principle, isn't it? The principle of everything.
Yeah, like you can give someone money and then because you ask for it back, they'll be telling their friends, oh, I'm not giving him his money back because he's being rude to me.
Yeah.
You owe me money. It's irrelevant how I speak to you.
I shouldn't even have
you
to
You owe
ask.
Me money. Yeah, you owe me money. Like it's irrelevant if anything happened, it's irrelevant if I won £1 billion the next day. You owe me money. Like
I think what I've seen definitely a twist and turn over the years in terms of owing people money or buying shit that you can't afford is that social media sort of corrupt people to think as long as I'm good in that social media bubble and people think I've got money or as long as I can put something on Instagram so people think I've got dough. Like when I was in the academy in Bristol, I was earning like £7,000 a year. Do you know what I mean? And I'm mates with like Ty and all these boys and they all got dough and I'm like, fuck's sake, like I'm in the wrong line of work. Do you know what I mean? Like being honest. Being honest, that is where I'm from. I thought I should be doing all what these lot are doing. And then waited my time, do you know what I mean? Now I'm earning good dough. So like I feel blessed in that sense. But at the time you wouldn't ever catch me and Ty tell me if I'm wrong. I'd never live what that means. I had an 03 Nissan Micra for my first motor, do you know what I mean?
You had the same barber coat for about 10 years.
I had the same jacket. I'm not that person. I ain't that guy that feels like I gotta stand up and be counted for on social media. Like, do you know what I mean? I like people to go about their business quietly and then people respect them for that way as opposed to people who flaunt it and then really like they're not happy, they ain't got anything.
Of course,
it's a better way to be in it. Like,
if you got both, then good for you. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. But I think like the minute it stops, so if you show off, you show off, and that's fine. Like, I show off a lot, but I think the minute you stop, you got to be able to turn it off and understand that finance ain't there, or someone else's personal savings ain't there to finance, so you can flex. You know,
mate, you're right. You see, you say this, so you can go. The craziest thing is now, like I sell drip or whatever you want to call it, fashion. You can go into a nightclub in Bristol. You couldn't separate a man that makes £500 from a man that makes £30,000 a week.
Yeah,
this is weekly payments. Like, they got the same Rolex on, they got the same Louis Vuitton t-shirts on, they got the same jeans, they got Dior's on, and you wouldn't, they got the same cars as well. Like, it's crazy. I was speaking to my friend outside my work earlier, and he's like, listen, I don't understand how people even got these things. Like, I struggle.
It's mad, isn't it?
Like, I didn't want to talk how much money, but like some weeks I make very good money, like five figures profit. But like, I even struggle. Like, I got people I got to give money to, and I'm thinking, how, like, my money's tied up. How the hell does someone make £300 a week, got Dior's, got the new BMW?
I'm the same. I make a lot of money, and I think, how the hell are you living that way?
I think
it's a lot. You
trust
know?
Me, if I go out to eat food, like I go out once a week to eat food. If I go out every day, I think, whoa, like I got mates that gone out twice or three times a day and I'm thinking, I don't know how you do it.
To be fair, I draw the line at that. I spend a bit of dough on food.
Yeah.
I like good grub.
Yeah, everyone got to have something they enjoy doing.
Yeah,
like,
that's their niche, isn't it? That's my
You know what, though? Like if you're going to put money into anything, put it into your body. You know what I mean? Like, what else that matters? Like the Dior's or whatever you're wearing? Like, what do they do for you? Nothing. Like, it's to impress other people. But at least good food goes into you.
So,
you know,
but
I mean,
some people like buying, like, I don't buy a lot of fashion. I do wear fashion, don't get me wrong. Everything I buy and wear, it sells more. But I draw the line under it. Like, it don't make me personally feel better. I like collecting certain products, certain.
But you've been like that since you was 14.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean?
But
it's
like,
not something that's happened
something
since.
New, like,
you was like that before Instagram was even
yeah,
about.
Yeah, that's
really
what I mean. Now you got like people that, yes, yeah, it's crazy. I'm just, I can't even speak on it. It's mad.
Yeah, you're going to talk shit about your customers. But we were saying the other day, innit, like, you wouldn't care if you was in a Primark tracksuit, but you got people who will not leave the house unless they're designer head to toe, even if they don't have a penny to their name. Like, we don't even see what goes on behind the scenes. Like, these people could be like 30 grand in debt. They owe this guy money. They owe that guy money. We don't see it. And they're just spending it all on clothes.
But as long as they look good on Instagram.
Yeah, yeah.
Their trips. I just find it wild. Everyone's back to front, isn't they?
Yeah. It's gonna, something's gonna give soon.
Well, it's good. That's what I'm saying. It's happened. Money's on his ass.
Yeah, he's the
everyone's
ass because he's been selling mad drip all through Corona.
Yeah, now last year, my turnover is probably like 2-3 million pounds. This year, like, it's gone less, but I'm probably making more money. But to make money now, it's like you have to chase sales. Like before, I couldn't get enough sales. Now I got,
you couldn't get enough.
Yeah,
product,
like now,
you?
Like now, I'm still making good money. Don't get me wrong, because I'm still picking up more clients. But like the normal footfall's not there. It's not the average working person. Like last year, like everyone was just buying everything. I just think like people were spending £1,000 and I don't even know where they, like the working people, and, like once a week, it don't even make sense.
Yeah, those COVID checks went miles, didn't they? Everyone had money. Yeah,
Everyone had 50 grand in their business, never even made a grand every like quarter. Yeah. It's mad.
And it's mad as well. Like what you're saying then about the economy coming down and like you have to sell stuff. We were talking about this the other day. It's quite fun though, even when things go downward, because it puts you back in the fight, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Like even if it's like stressful.
Yeah, and the people who are sensible and save money for them times, we're going to get the bargains now, yeah? Like yeah, we ain't paying 20 grand over Rolex price. You go buy it and then you can make money.
Some of them
you
can buy them under retail now. Yeah. Like, someone told me they bought a watch from a goldsmith the other day and they offered it 5 grand under retail.
Seriously?
Man, yeah, back. Yeah. Like that's how crazy the game's going now.
Bruh, what?
Like assets aren't, unless it's gold, even a GBP is not an asset anymore. Nah, it's going down.
Nothing's an asset anymore.
I drove across the suspension bridge earlier. They ain't taking pound coins anymore. They don't want gold.
Seriously?
Yeah, they said 23rd of July, yeah, no more pound coins. It's just cards.
They're getting rid of all of it.
You've got to tap them.
Cash it's all collapsing, bro.
Cash is going, man. It's going.
It is, yeah.
It's not good because
it gives
in
them
a minute,
more control.
Yeah, more control. And in a minute, like if you want to buy something privately, what are you going to do? They know everything you bought and they could just type in who's bought this today and they'll bring up a list of everyone. Before, they'd have to go to each shop, each card permit processor,
check the cameras. But I guess that's where crypto comes into it, I guess, because literally it says it on the tin, it's cryptic of how people are purchasing stuff. So
yeah, I think everyone should have a bit of crypto in it, just for like, I know obviously some people have stop buying
it says
crypto.
A crypto master.
No, I'm out of it, man. I said shiz earlier, like, it just fries my head. I just can't get
just keep it as that. That's the best way to be.
Nah, but it just trust me. It just goes back to what you're saying though. Like you just because something went a certain way, you can't give up on it. Like everything comes up and down, up and down.
Everything goes up and down.
You done some mad X's on VRA, and how much you turned like what 4 into 40 or something?
Yeah, I put a grand into it. I think I had about 37 grand within 28 days.
Wow,
but if I just left that 36 grand in there, yeah, I probably would be. I probably would be a multi-millionaire now.
Seriously?
Yeah, I would have been. Yeah, done some mad exit.
I was listening to shiz every day.
I didn't even know what I was doing.
Message you every single day. I put 6 quid in and I had 36 quid at the end of the week. And I was like, this is the one. But then it flipped on its head and I had like £2 left. I was like, fuck, it's too much stress.
You see, with crypto, I got to the point, it made me so upset. In the end, you just got to look up in the sky and just laugh. Yeah, or cry, like, it's mad. Trust me.
You know what? You just got to take profits, though. See, like,
you've got
to take 36 quid, 4 to 40. Like, what are you thinking not taking out your initial investment? You know what I mean?
I had a January last year, or January before, I had a touch, made 35 grand in January. And then in the summer, I think I lost 40 or 45.
Yeah, no, I had a similar. So I had a wallet. Seems it was worth about, I had a wallet, it's like 55K. Now, if I look at it, it's about 3K.
Yeah. I think everyone's like 90% down on one coin. They've got everything's 90% down, but it'll build back up.
Yeah, of course.
But it's time to top up now at 90% below. Yeah. Obviously, you know it's going to 10X again. Certain things you can buy.
See, the thing with crypto, you do need a financial advisor. That is the thing with it. Not a lot of people know what they're doing. You do need a financial advisor.
Listen, I sent you a little message earlier. The last thing I sent you is you need to start to take paying, make people pay you.
You just want to run the wallet. Not
But do you know what it is? It just takes so much time. You're chatting to everyone. And see, yeah, I could be a financial advisor, but you've got a stomach because, yeah, you go to someone like James, you had a guy and it's promising you, what, 12% or something? And like, that's a really good like financial advisor, 12%.
You want to be like,
mine will be like,
that's incredible.
Mine's like 36,000%, but you might lose like 100% before you get there.
You'll be like that guy in Turkey. Everyone will be looking for you.
My profile's up and down like BTC, so like, one day you might be half, but you could like 5x, 10x overnight.
You're right.
But all of my like safe investments, they're all down.
So like, there ain't no safety. There's nothing safe anymore.
A down 10%.
Didn't your financial advisor say to you like last year he couldn't make any money? Like the guy was making 12% every year, now he made nothing.
Yeah, nothing was safe. And
just
I think
gold.
It was that, no commodity. Like no like sorry, like blanket commodity. So maybe the specific commodity, but like if he was talking about sectors, he's like none of his sectors performed.
Yeah.
Well, everyone's going back to playing it safe now. Everyone's saying buy silver, buy gold.
Yeah.
Everything's getting digitalized.
And now gold, but gold's going to crash in a minute.
That's what I mean. Everyone gets scared and says gold. Do you know what I mean?
Like, everyone's just pumping right now. Yeah.
And that CBDC stuff, dodgy as well, because you know, we were talking about ChatGPT earlier. Like, you can have an agenda. Like, it won't make a joke about Biden, but it'll make a joke about Trump. Is they could say, like, right, let's take America, for example. Yeah. We don't want to start buying any more guns. And like, the controls are coming in. Like, they could just turn off the CBDC, you know, just like that. And they control. Or, like, say you had someone that wasn't politically doing everything they needed to do in the UK, they could just start like limiting, like, you can just buy food, you just buy the basics, you know? And you know, we talked about the 15-minute cities, like you've got Oxford where they're going to start making it so you can't leave your borough. They could also like block your card outside of your borough,
you know? What do you mean you can't leave your borough?
So you explain it.
Oxford, they're chopping it up to like 4 or 5 sectors, yeah? And they're going to make sure you've got enough shops within a 15-minute walk or whatever, 15-minute drive, whatever.
Yeah.
And if you leave that 15-minute zone, you get a fine or whatever. So they're trying to make it.
It's just everyday life.
Yeah, everyday life. They're trying to do
it. This is actually happening.
It's happening, yeah. The trial is happening in Oxford.
Yeah, that's
so you've got 15 minutes, you're allowed to leave that area or whatever. After that, you get fined. And that's just to reduce pollution.
Yeah, they've been protesting, haven't they?
Yeah, yeah.
And they've been doing some good protests. Like, the people who are on it are, like, real on it. They're like, getting their points off real good. But, like, they know that this ends bad, you know?
Yeah,
it doesn't end well. Yeah. And they're saying, like, why do you need to go to a supermarket that's more than 15 minutes away? So we've got one here within your area. And if you do, we'll get you an ANPR camera and you get fined.
Yeah, that's mad. Can you walk out of these bars, though?
Yeah, you can walk.
You just can't drive. Yeah. That's like, crazy.
Fucking Hunger Games.
So what's if you want to see someone, you've got to, like, book it in online or just pay the fine?
You've got to pay the fine. So you got to pay to see your friends now.
It's like a congestion charge, I think. It's basically the same as congestion charge, but on the, like, leaving your town instead of coming into it.
But it's kind of mad because we're going backwards. Like, if you went back 100 years, everything would be local to you anyway. Till Tesco came over and said, yo, we'll have everything in one place here. Now you've got to drive here. So it's kind of going back to how it was. But I mean, that wasn't.
But you know what's weird about it, though, is because we're connected, like, globally for Instagram, like, never before we wanted to leave our town the whole time. But also now you're not allowed. Or at least that's the way it's going to go, you know? So it's going to be that you're teased the whole time. You see all this shit going on Instagram, but you can't do nothing. You can't even leave your town.
Yeah, that's crazy.
The carbon cap thing's mad as well. I don't know if any of you lot go on a lot of holidays, but they're saying, like, they're going to give people a certain amount of carbon they can emit.
Go away, really?
Yeah, so if, for example, say you got a range, yeah? Well, you got a range, right?
Yeah.
So say you're pumping out a lot of carbon, they're going to say, okay, you booked this flight here, that's going to be your carbon cap now.
I actually quite rate that. As long as there's dispensation for people who are trying to push more green agendas, like, I bought an electric car just for the reason of, like, being on brand with my gym. I've got, like, the gym's sort of label as being sort of sustainable, and we really push for that sort of green touch. So as long as I get points back, so to speak, for having an electric car and a sustainable gym, then it wouldn't really bother me. That probably is the way to go, though, but I guess that's what the future holds.
My worry is this, right? So instead of even, like, what I think is, if electric cars are the answer, the problem is, will it stop at electric cars? Because nothing's ever stopped anywhere. Like, every single thing that's been a pushed agenda, what will happen is eventually when everyone's on electric cars, they'll say, right, electric's doing a lot of damage. We need to get people out of cars. And in the end, we'll just be carless. That's what I think.
But is that a bad thing? Like, is it bad? Like, you see what all these futuristic films when they got those, like, tubes and mad shuttles, like, and you get places like that. And like, I went to Dubai not longer, and they're trying to build that. Or maybe it's in Abu Dhabi. Yeah, horse and car.
No, I can ride horses.
but I seen that thing in Abu Dhabi where they're going to have, like, a private tram and the monorail, is it, all the way through the city. And
right, yeah.
Like, I think that's probably better for the environment, and it makes more sense. I think it was Elon Musk that said we're the only humans in general, the only people who are three-dimensional that travel in 2D, so we only go like that way, you know, as opposed to being able to go like up and over things, down underneath, do you know what I mean? Like ants,
yeah.
They go wherever they want, really.
Up the walls and that. I love the idea.
That's what he said. He was like, we need to start building like underground tunnels and stuff. That's why we've got so much traffic. That's why there's so much pollution. And
I think all that's sick, but my worry is that it gets into the hands of people who use that agenda for different, you know what I mean?
But bruv, you're a prisoner of the state in every sense anyway. Like, what, we can't really change that. There's people who are going to make those decisions whether you like it or not.
You're right.
Yeah,
unless we all start rioting and going crazy.
But we might have to. They've probably got an answer for that.
Well.
You know what the problem is, yeah? Like, for example, this ULEZ thing, yeah? Like, it's all good, saving the environment, this, that, and the other, but who does it target? Like, poor people. You know what I mean? People who are at the bottom already, now they've got to pay £9 to enter the town centre. Like, if you do that every day, you know, that's like £300 a month for a normal person who's struggling already, like cost of living crisis.
It's crazy.
Let's bang a ULEZ charge on. You know what I mean?
So they have to buy a new motor.
Yeah, which they can't afford. Now what? Like that person's got a lower quality of life.
Now they're going to finance it. Now they're going to pay more money back on the finance.
Yeah, exactly.
Vicious circle.
That's crazy.
And then the other thing is EV really, really efficient, because if you go to Congo, you see all these poor African people, like kids digging out stuff out the ground, and they're like getting killed, they're getting cancer, they're getting enslaved, all these things. And it takes like because it takes so much carbon to get the cobalt out of the ground and everything else to process it, all these other things, make the batteries. It takes 7 times longer for you to pay back the carbon footprint from an EV.
I've heard this, but do you not think that may be just a bit more propaganda as opposed to... I don't know. I'm asking the question. Yeah. I think whatever you do, obviously there's people who are going to be pro normal cars and then people who are pro EV. And the people who are pro EV are going to say EVs are way better. Whereas people who are pro car are going to say EVs are 7 times worse. You know what I mean? I never know whether I'm coming or going.
I heard a quote, right? And this makes sense, is that I think we'd all agree, like, the banks are at least... they know everything that's going on in terms, they're going to be with the powers that be. So if they're saying that the waters will rise, why are banks loaning £20 million to houses at water level in central London? They don't think the water's going to rise. They keep telling us that we're going to be underwater in 10 years. Why are they giving 20-year mortgages for 20 million, 40 million quid? And why is Bill Gates buying farmland at sea level? So they're telling us that us not going to electric is going to raise sea level, but they don't seem very concerned about it because they're not buying mountain ranges. So what's going on with these people who tell us this stuff? They're saying, right, if water levels rise, we're going to be screwed. But they don't have any concern because they're giving out mortgages, no problem. And they're all at water level. And they're their most valuable properties, all at water level. And Bill Gates has bought how much farmland in the last year?
Largest farmland in America right now.
And so what's he bought? Sea, by his argument.
Just bought everything.
Like, but I mean, he literally bought ocean.
Control the food supply in a minute.
By his argument, he's bought ocean.
Yeah.
So what do you want the ocean for? He didn't think it's going to be ocean. And that's what I think. I think that we're being sold a rig. Up until the 90s, they said that it was going to be a big freeze. And then they changed lanes because we're getting warmer and said it's going to be we're going to overflow. And we were going to be overflowed by 2000, then 2010. And now 2023, I don't see much. And
I think they just create these things just for new laws and how to make money. Yeah.
That's what I'm trying to say, though. It's all like we're all weighing over our head to think we actually got the answer. Like, no one knows what's going to happen.
You're bang on as well. We can't do much. We're going to end up getting
slaved. What can we actually control? Do you know what I mean? I stopped like sort of conspiring about all that stuff a long time ago when I realized I cannot have any impact. I can try and recycle more, be a bit greener and stuff. Brilliant. But do I ultimately have the keys to what's going to change the world? No, of course I don't.
Bro, you know, I've done the same thing recently. You know, I stopped listening to all this stuff because I thought, I'm just going to, the basics, I'm going to push back against CBDC, like stupid shit if they try and take my rights. But other than that, I just go down a dark hole and just listen to
everyone goes down a dark hole. It's interesting, isn't it? It spices everything up.
A lot of it's true, but when you can't do something about it, there's no point worrying about it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly, man.
Because we're all going to be in the same boat. You know what I mean? And worst case scenario, we'll just leave this country. Like, if you're quick enough to respond.
I'm sure we'll all be hanging out in Dubai sometime.
That's where I'm going.
It seems that everyone that I know is doing well and kind of woke to this stuff going on, like all these extra laws, this, that, and the other. Like, everyone wants to move to Dubai now. You know what I mean?
But then I went to Dubai and someone I know lived out there and he's moving back now. He says the purity of the air. But then again, it's an app and it could be lying to us. So he said that like it was ranked 182nd or something for places to live in terms of purity of the air out there.
That's probably right. But like
we were in a high rise like having food and I literally couldn't see like four buildings away. So really? Like, geez, maybe that is true.
That's because of the heat though, isn't it? Obviously heat traps it all in.
And it's obviously loads of dust like from sand and stuff. That's what I mean. Like I believe that as soon as I heard it and then I thought a bit more constructively about it and I was like, geez, maybe there's actually a few other things going on.
Yeah, sand, like you said, sand, heat, all that stuff. Mm. But they only have petrols over there. It's no diesels. So, you know, you don't get the dirty diesel fumes. Mm. Petrol's kind of clean when it burns.
About 10 years ago, we were in China. It's so smoggy that you literally had like black in your nose. Do you remember that?
Serious.
Yeah. Well, China's a worst.
Why is it like that in China? Like, why is it
every pollution? Bro.
Yeah, everyone's got masks
think
now.
About everything on this
I
table.
I never really read up into it.
You ever gone over there when you've been doing? Nah.
I haven't been China, nah.
It's crazy out there. You literally go out for a day, you come back, and you'll have like black snot, like dry black snot.
Well, is that bad?
Yeah, even if you just get some phlegm up, it'll be like black.
Serious?
Yeah, we went to Guangzhou, crazy. Where obviously all the factories are, the traffic's crazy. Like, how far was the exhibition? Like a mile, and it took us like an hour to get there.
So many cars. You've got like 6-lane motorways, and everyone's just sat there like with cigarettes, all sat there like lane and lane and lane, and it's just crazy pollution.
Is it
pollution.
A cool place, though?
It's sick, yeah.
Within reason, obviously, morally, it's questionable
scary.
Sometimes.
Yeah. I don't know how, like, up for going back I'd be because of, like, the way everything's
going on. Yeah. No, I'm
but
like,
in terms
I'm
of, like, in terms actually, think. Like, see it. If you go there and you don't have to worry, like, I think it's a cool place to see, like, a different way of living, yeah, like,
yeah.
Very industrious. Everyone is just, like, on it, working nonstop, you know?
I find that a lot about Asia in general. That sort of part of the world.
Yeah, whereabouts in Asia have you been?
Japan.
Oh, sick. What's that like?
Yeah, incredible. Very work-driven. So there's one day a week, or maybe it might be every single evening, but you walk down this place in Tokyo and all the people are in business suits, like, falling over, and there's a job over there to pick people up, drunk people off the street and
seriously?
Take them home. Because they work so hard, so relentlessly every single day of the week, it's almost like encouraged to have a blowout.
My friend said the same thing, that they go out and get drunk after like every day of work because they work
it might
real
be
hard.
Every day, yeah. But we were in the business district for the World Cup in 2019. It was at the time, because I was 24 then, I think, turning 25, and I didn't really appreciate it for what it was. I was like, fuck, I'm in Japan. Like, I should be making the most of it. I went to like a robot show and all sorts. Like, there's crazy stuff like that. It is a sick place.
Do you eat a lot of sushi?
So different to the West. I love sushi, so yeah, I eat loads, but.
Do you have any mad sushi? Was it different to here?
Yeah, so I, what we said earlier about speaking about sushi and that. So on my phone, all I get is like cooking stuff, and it's always sushi, and because it's all I speak about.
Yeah,
food, as you probably realize by now. And yeah. I didn't have any like the live sushi and stuff, but that I tried. What did I try? Scallop nigiri.
What do you mean live sushi?
Well, you know,
have you not seen it? You know when you said food, you touched his belly like he's missing something.
Have you not seen the live sushi?
Now what is it? It's still
like, so like, you know when you cut like a snake's head off, it moves and stuff. Like, it's the same with like octopus tentacles and stuff until you cook them. So they eat like live octopus.
You're a sick bastard.
I never had it, but like, they love it. They put soy sauce on it and they
yeah. I've seen videos on Insta where people are literally getting like an animal, chucking it in the oil and then eating it while it's still like moving. It's mad.
That's what I mean. Yeah. Food wise over there, they got some absolutely beautiful food, but there's some questionable stuff. But this is just us, the way we see it in the West.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? They think it's incredible.
We're in China, me and Shiz. We came back from the Canton Fair, which is some big like exhibition in Guangzhou, and we turned up and we were speaking to this supplier about HDMI cables, and he was like trying to win our affection. Man. He was like, this is the special piece of the dish, and it was the eyeball, and we had to do it out of respect, and like they kind of push it to me, like Shiz and Rob, the guys we have, like, and I did it, and I ate this like big eyeball like this, and there's a grain in it, and I had to be like, yeah, it's very nice, my friend.
Just
nasty, right?
I heard it pop, and his face was like scrunched up, and he's going like this, and
I draw the line.
You want to go to my nan's in St. Paul's? That's every week of this show. I used to have to sit at the table for about 4 hours till I'd eat it, and she'd say, you couldn't leave. My dad would come and rescue me. No, I never ate it. Every week she'd do it. It's just a fish eye, like.
Well, you didn't chuck it under the table?
No.
That's what I used to do as a kid, just like, hide it.
Trust me, she would have pat me down if I did that. She knows.
Is it because of like the vitamins and nutrients?
I don't know. I've never asked. I've never asked this day. I try not to go there as much.
In rugby, there's like a big South Sea Pacific Islander culture, and we play with a lot of these like huge Polynesian boys, like Tongans, Samoans, Fijians, and that. And they're like the maddest athletes you've ever seen in your life. Don't touch the gym. Bench 200 kilos.
Really?
Yes, mate. Like, you'll never see anything like it. They are made of absolute titanium. Like, but they don't touch weight. It's crazy. Yeah, it's berserk. Well, they say they don't touch weights, but who knows? They could be smashing gym when they get home. You don't know, do you? But what they eat is like pretty wild, like what I think is pretty wild. But then I lived with someone called Jack Lamb, who's Samoan, a huge, like one of the hardest hitters I've ever played with. I lived with him and he made me eat like the sort of same stuff. He like gained 20 kilo in a year.
Yeah, did he really?
What was he eating?
To be fair, there was a lot of room to grow. I was quite skinny when I was sort of growing up, quite lean.
He's never been skinny.
I went from 100 kilo to 121.
Yeah, they're talking 100 kilo. That's not even being shits together.
But yeah, like the stuff he eats, it's just like, it's a high pork diet and loads of fish, loads of, oh, it's mad. And they got this thing called taro, which is like a root vegetable that grows on the island. Mad.
Is that like that pinky thing?
No, it's white. And they like, they boil it sometimes in like coconut milk and stuff. It's quite tasty, but it's just like the most dense, I guess, is a vegetable that I've ever eaten. And you eat that and you're a kilo ever. You look at it, you get a kilo ever. You should start eating it.
Heard that.
You,
yeah,
yeah, yeah. You get that in Eastern. Yeah.
Is that like cassava? Is that the same cassava? Thing? Cassava is like a white thing. And it's like mad dense in carbs. But
probably,
like,
yeah.
Like kind of clean. Yeah.
Grows underground. Fat.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like a bit, it's like a yam. It's described as a yam, yeah.
Mad.
But they eat that and they're like literally ironically. Yeah,
I've seen these guys out before. I saw a group of them and they're massive.
They're enormous, huge, man. Big.
And they're such nice people as well. Huge, but so kind and real good people.
So that was when you were playing in Leicester, was it?
Nah, well, I played with a lot of them at Leicester. Big contingent, the Tuol Angi, is like a very popular family in Leicester. They're incredible. Yeah, man. And then in Bristol as well, over the past few years, we've had some like proper, real good Samoans, yeah.
Ah, nice, nice.
Mad.
So what's your plans with the gym then? What do you expect to...
Well, yeah, we're debating that at the moment, so actually... I don't know how much I want to talk about. You never know who's gonna hear, but we want to sort of try and combat the health club industry. Obviously, in Bristol, it's David Lloyd heavy. So I'm leaning towards trying to sort of privatize a health club. I don't know how far we're gonna get that. Obviously, need a lot of investment. But we're quite determined to sort of move that reasonably quickly. So we don't just want to sort of cap it at just gyms. We wanna just expand and see if we can. Cause I was like chatting to Shiz earlier. I was at a restaurant and he was like, it's probably owned by Ledecca. And I was like, you know what? Like that just shows that this sort of restaurant where they probably charge another 10, 15 quid per item on the menu just cause it's got a different name. It's owned by the same people.
Yeah.
Perception's reality in that sense. So not that I want to mug anyone off. I'm just saying I want to sort of try and combat that sector where everyone thinks it's so saturated and everyone's done it. I want to try and start something a bit new.
We said that not long ago, you know, we were talking about like David Lloyd is kind of run down for the money. Like if there's a place you could chill, you could justify spending that much because you waste time there and like it's something to do.
David Lloyd's a social club. But see the thing you said is saturated. I don't believe it is saturated. I believe it's unsaturated.
But
I think that's a good market for you there.
There's free David Lloyd's in Bristol though.
But the price, if you
no, that's
yeah, yeah, they ain't that special price, though. Like compared to place in London, no, and that. No, they ain't special at all. Special.
That's what I'm saying.
The Westbury ones run down. Even Long Ashton ones run down.
But Long Ashton ones like the probably the most run down out of three, and it's the most expensive.
Yeah, it's the most expensive.
You could the monthly payment could be half the money, and it could be a lot better.
240 odd quid a month for a family membership. I'm allowed to go
to
all three. To
me, it's 260 a month.
All three I can go to. I only ever go to one. I got the platinum membership so that we can like use it whenever everyone. Like the one in Westbury's got an ice plunge.
Yeah,
the
that's
long,
cool.
And
that
that's
one,
the
yeah.
only thing that I want. I want the ice plunge and the heat. And then my missus goes and uses the creche and stuff like that. But you can provide. Imagine what you can provide if you charge someone £400. Then you absolutely probably make it so sick.
Yeah.
Put everything they need in there. I reckon people will play it.
Yeah, definitely.
Me and Shiz signed up, and we didn't want to sign up and pay the full amount because it was like
It was 120 back then, I think.
Yeah, and it was all dirty or whatever. So we signed up as 18-year-olds, no, as 17-year-olds, and we were 27. Shiz had some like full beard, and they're like, 17? Are you sure? And we managed to get on. We're paying like 70 quid a month for a year, and we're 27 years.
Yeah, we just gave them an ID, and they checked it, put through. I was like, was it 50 quid?
Yeah,
it was 50 so quid. Funny. But yeah, we used to hop over that sauna area to the plunge pool and that. It's nice that area, isn't it?
The elites area, that's what I call it.
Celsius Spa.
Yeah, Celsius, that's it.
For the elites.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nah, but it's the best bit about it, isn't it? The ice plunge, and then you pay more for the one Long Ashton. They haven't even got it. So
yeah.
Change rooms are decent.
Yeah, but you got that swamp thing. You got that swamp thing, innit?
Is that what it is?
Between the changing room and the swimming pool, there's that like swampy water bit which stinks.
Oh, it does stink. The two doors.
Yeah, the two doors.
You think they get the drainage right, wouldn't you? But
for £2 a month, 100%.
So, Ty, I was going to say, where do you see it going with your business in terms of like with the recession? Because I'm worried about that with mine as well.
I'm always surprised. Like I can have a day like today. I've only made £200 today. By the time I pay my employee, maybe £150. But then I can have days. I'm like, 5k.
Where do you get staff for 50 quid?
She's only worked two hours.
Oh, shit. £25 an hour.
I don't, with my company, I don't, maybe not even to progress into more high end items, just like where I'm at now, I'm comfortable, I'm content.
What could you do next for high end items? Like you can't sell it for more expensive.
Watches
get,
or what we said, concierge travel. Like I already like first class plane ticket.
What, so you do that, do you as well?
Yeah, 20% off.
Oh, do you really?
Yeah. That's it, bro. Everything to make your life easier.
Yeah, bro, if I ever want something, it is Tayo, I'll give a call.
You don't even have to get Harrod. Like, he's Harrod's local.
We need to connect for sure, man.
I remember we were in...
Why don't I know this guy?
when COVID struck and for rugby went away for a tournament and we weren't allowed to leave the hotel, it was literally like, it was on lockdown. You remember? And the PS5 had just come out. The PS5 had literally just come out. Obviously there were shortages, you couldn't get them anywhere, the boys were all in camp like, we need PS5s, blah blah blah, and I went playing PlayStation at the time on a laptop. Now I'm a computer guy, so I was happy I had my computer.
What do you play?
League of Legends. So nice. Yeah, a bit of a switch on the set. I love it
James, like, nice.
Anyway, I'm there banging League, and then everyone's on the WhatsApp group because we couldn't see each other in person. Yeah. Obviously it was crazy at the time. Everyone's like, I need a PlayStation 5. I was like, oh, let me ring my boy. An hour and a half later, Ty's outside the hotel.
Five PlayStations.
In a VW.
No, sorry. I think it was six. Come down in a VW.
Everyone's looking out the window, looking at Ty like, who the
And then they chatted me the same night. I come back down the next day with another five. So over 2 days, I sold 11 PlayStations.
Wow.
But the boys, and I drove myself boys, there. There wasn't that much profit in them. Like, I'd probably make about £50 of them. But the fact of, to meet England, the England team, that's an honour in itself, let alone...
But
make
no one believed me.
Supplied them with PS5s.
Like, you supplied them.
They
even seen with PS5s.
Yeah, come up with tattoos all over him. And they was like, they're robbed. Yeah. The police could come. I was like, listen to me. I would not bring stolen PlayStations.
Listen, they should be grateful. Yeah. They just got PS5s, stolen or not. You know what I mean? They couldn't get them.
I was like, boys, you think I'd bring someone who's robbed PlayStations into camp?
You couldn't even get them to rob them.
That's what I mean. They weren't any to rob.
I know.
But everyone was quizzing me, I reckon, for 2 weeks. I was telling him, and he was like, bro, I don't know what else I can say, do you know what I mean?
Like, yeah, that was so crazy.
Was you always that guy though? You could get whatever, because that's like me and James basically in school. Like, you sell MacBooks, iPhones, whatever.
I used to sell jewel breakers in school, lollies. I even was selling cigarettes at one of my secondary schools. That didn't end too well, but I was making, some days I made like £10 a day. But back then, we're talking like a different dimension of time. Yeah, £10, 13. That was a lot of money. Like now, after 2016 times, so COVID times, like making £1,000 a week in 2016 was a lot of money. Post COVID times, that's nothing.
Money don't go far now. Like,
yeah, like it don't.
I get delivery from my granddad, and then I get my delivery or something later in the evening. That's like £60 a day.
Like back in 2016, you could get your petrol, you could get your food, even if you want to break down your rent into a daily thing, that would still cover it, and you still have money left.
You remember in COVID when petrol was like £2 a litre?
And then it dropped to like one.
And
do you remember?
It went to one, yeah. And now it's 1.4. They're like, oh, you know what? Would you meet him halfway?
Yeah.
Yeah. Crazy.
It's mad how money's become worthless. It's only getting worse, isn't it? Yeah. Like, they said inflation's over, but
it's
like,
not getting better.
It's crazy.
No, I was working out my outgoings last, so like, it's all good making, so you can make £30 profit a month, £40,000, whatever. When you work out your outguns, like I had £7,000 outguns a month. I'm thinking, yeah, I don't even live a lifestyle. I don't even do nothing.
More money you earn.
Silent killers. I had to start. Yeah. And this one even added my food. Like, these were just like money, like I was giving to family or my bills. And then after I worked out, literally within a day, I minus that by £4,000. And it was just pointless things, like nothing. Like,
yeah.
Like I think I had subscriptions. They were adding up to about £400. They want poor Lever.
She's told me it's £17 for Netflix earlier. That's the first thing I'm doing when I get home is canceling.
Hey, did cancel your OnlyFans subscription?
I got now Disney. Like, I got all these things. I don't even watch them. Like,
yeah, so with my Netflix, it started off at £7. Obviously, I gave out my password to everyone because I'm not greedy. Like, I gave it to everyone. And now...
You're paying more for their subscription.
Yeah, because when it says four screens are watching it once, you're going to upgrade. Someone else, I don't even know who's got my password, is clicking upgrade.
Yes.
And to 4K, and now I'm paying £7.
Do you want to upgrade? Yes, he does. I'll log out when I get home.
I've secretly done that as well. I've been on someone's, it says you can't watch this. Like, you're watching it, and the screen just comes up with a button saying, okay, to continue watching it. And you're thinking, what the hell is going on? Then you just see the upgrade, and you just click it on someone else's account.
Yeah, you don't want to lose
your
movie.
You don't even need the card details.
You know, not halfway through the film. You can't say no, can you?
Nah. I remember I had a PS, was it PS4? Some kid owed me money, he gave me a PS4. Yeah, I sold it to him in the first place, he never paid me. So he gave it back to me, and obviously split up with his girlfriend, and there was Disney Plus on there. Oh, I remember buying movies.
You wanted your money back.
Yeah. I was buying movies for like a whole year till it got cancelled one day. I was like, oh shit. I got to pay for my own.
way of the world, man.
But I saw a funny meme the other day, actually, Ty, saying that you used to sell jawbreakers, but it said all the kids who sold sweets in school, yeah, are either in jail now or doing really well. I was like, everyone thought of it, that's true.
But is anyone that was selling sweets in school is usually progressed on to be an entrepreneur, or they progressed on to like hustling, or not hustling in the sense of being like illegal activities, but like the entrepreneur, or they're just out being grafters all day working for the man. But
yeah, because they didn't need to, they were saying this, you didn't need to sell chewing gum on the playground. So if you did it, you were doing it to get ahead. So you already had that like get ahead mindset, didn't you? Right.
Yeah, you realize you can make money for yourself off anything, and you see them opportunities.
Once the first time you do it, like growing up, I've had people like my nan and granddad that looked after me. They've had money. They're not, I wouldn't say they're well off, but they've always provided for me and went the further distance.
Yeah.
But as I never used to have money, like I'd get given like a pound a day and that to live on. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. If you go back now, I was getting a pound a day. That was nice.
Yeah, I was getting a pound too. Yeah.
And now you got $7,000 outgoings. Bro, do you ever think that you can't even afford to be a normal 9-to-5 now? Like that ship sailed, bro. Pressure's on.
Anyway, like you see with my company now, like I used to go in. So for 2 years straight, I was hammering work going in from 9 a.m. And I'll be finishing work at like 1 or 2 in the morning. I'm carrying like boxes about up to 20-foot PlayStations, trainers, trying to get them into my apartment, like stacking them. They're all falling off.
Yeah, but you've been like that since day. Yeah, like
now, but now, like as like for like yeah, the last 10 years, I've been bad at like an OCD of like I don't enjoy making money. Money don't bring you happiness. Making money is what makes me happy. But now, at the time, from that 9, like doing, sometimes I do 14-hour shifts. Now, I'm lucky I work two hours a day, and I'm so much more enjoyable. Like right now, the economy's so bad, you need to know when to chase money and when to push your time into something. Yeah, like now I just go about my day. Now I want to be a professional physique competitor. Like, bro, that's how crazy.
Otherwise, you burn yourself out. When you start working these times and you can't control the external environment, like the economy and all that stuff, you burn yourself out. Yeah, so when it goes back to good, you're tired because you work for no reason to make pennies. You know what I mean?
I know what you mean.
And like the money doesn't bring you happiness. Like you said, like if you won the lottery, we're not going to be happy. You might be happy for a day. But it's like, it's being grinding and doing something right. Like, yeah, I got that right, man.
It's just like building something. Obviously, you didn't need the gym, but it's just something you wanted to do, innit?
Do you know what, Aaron, you say that? And it was almost, and I swear to you, I never told you this, but Ty didn't necessarily inspire me to open gym, but watching him and how hard he worked, so we wouldn't see him for like 3 months, yeah? And then we'd link up and it'd be the same. But because he worked so hard, he had it got something going on all the time. Whereas when I was with rugby, it ain't a 9-to-5, don't get me wrong. Some days you're in at 8 o'clock and you leave at 1. Sometimes you're in at 6:30 and you leave at 5:30. But it's a very physically demanding job. My ears hanging off. It's a tough job, like physically, but psychologically it is as well. But I needed something to take my mind off it. And seeing how cooked he was all the time, I was like, right, I need something to get after. So that was almost worth what can I do?
And it worked. I'm
chasing the next thing. So it's almost you get obsessed with leveling up. Like, I don't just want one gym now, I want 10. Yeah, I don't just want a gym now, I want a health club. Do you know what I mean?
Like the minute you get to your destination, there's no happiness.
Well, my missus said it to me. She was like, every time we're walking through a town or something, you see a shop for let, all you do is like think of these like mad things you could do. I'm like,
you got the bug now.
But watching you boys and that and chatting to you, that's what I chase.
It's a cool thing though, because like finding other people like that, it's hard to do, innit? But when you get that thing, like seeing the shop, like you'll tell someone else, like I know someone's after a shop, you know what I mean? Like when you meet more like-minded people like that, it's good, innit?
See, you say the same thing. It's like, this is why it's so hard to create a company with someone else. Because I could be talking to someone, I think, yeah, he's a really good grinder. The money's irrelevant. Like he's telling me all these words. And 1 year we're down the line, I've spent $100,000 and the business is pointless, like just because someone's gave a fake word when he's not doing what he's supposedly being capable of doing.
Because I was saying as well, it's like there's loads of people at Quack, but they're not ducks.
Yeah, exactly that.
We were talking about it earlier about like taking time out and that. Like when I remember JL was obviously when you were doing your thing, you were busy. I probably didn't see you for like a couple months, I don't know, maybe even a year. Yeah, and then you know, like I was free all the time then. And then when I started my thing, he probably didn't see me for a year. And the next time he saw me, I was speaking a whole different language. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
How busy I was. Like I was working every day till like midnight, maybe getting home later for like 2 years straight. And then it finally started working and then COVID happened. And then You know what I mean?
You see, when you don't see someone for like 3 months and then they progress so much, your friend is, it's very charismatic. Like it is, you don't really, it's a rare relationship to have with someone. Like I got certain friends, like we don't speak a lot of the time.
Really?
And we can progress so much. It's as if we're the same person emotionally, but like,
physically,
our headspace, we're just leveled
but that's
up
the thing, like, you gotta remember as well, the reason you ain't seeing people is because they're busy working on themselves. Do you know what I mean? Right. I'm like that with all everyone I know that's not in sport from back home. I'm the exact same way.
You know what, it's when people are working on themselves, because if they're not working on themselves, to just go and pick them up and find out what happened at the pub over the last 3 months, then there's gonna be that awkwardness because you don't know. But if you're like, oh yeah, I've done this,
small talk, like I can't deal with small talk.
I hate,
you know what I mean, it's so dead.
I've got to a stage in my life now where I don't do small talk.
You just go silent.
I'd rather sit there in complete silence than...
With that look on your face,
Everyone says to me, he's so miserable. And I hear people say it on, like, if they got, my mate goes on a podcast, everyone's like, he's so miserable, blah, he looks so angry all the time. But I'm not, I just listen. If I ain't got anything to say, I just don't say it. Like, I'm not going to speak.
You got two ears and one mouth for a reason.
Yeah, do you know what I mean? Like, I'm a listener. I'm not the life and soul of the party. I just sit there, I listen. If something's going on, I'm enjoying it, I'll enjoy it. But
one is like, say we're sat here and I'm awkward, I'm like, oh, do you like water then? Like, bro, do we don't need to talk about do I like water? Can we just not sit in silence?
What's your favorite color?
Oh,
silence is rare nowadays, man. Everyone's so loud about what they're doing. Silence is
crazy.
A commodity you should look after.
We said that on the last EP, like a lot of people don't enjoy their own company, like they can't sit there by themselves. Like I know me, most of the day I'm by myself just doing whatever I need to do. Obviously, you're kind of like the same, and running around like
the same.
But some people can't be on their own, innit? Like, and I think that's half the time people have jobs, because they can't just do their own thing. You know,
some people go to jobs just to socialize, even when they don't need to. They want to get out of the house.
That was the thing I missed about having a job when I started my own thing. Just like going there, chilling with people, chatting with people. You know what I mean? It's
easy. You've got a social battery, same as like you get worn out physically if you're exercising. You've got a psychological battery as well, and like some people's diminish quicker than others. You know what I mean? So you just got to look after it.
That's what you were saying, innit?
I can go years on end without being around people. I literally just like my space so much.
You're a recluse, man.
earlier you were saying, earlier you were saying, obviously, you've taken some time out of work to catch up with friends and stuff because you're going to end up losing them for neglect.
I don't have a lot. I can't even lie. Probably I have about five, like, proper. Not even five, let's say about 10 friends, because I'd even clash. I don't even know you that long, and I'd clash you on my top 10 friends. Like, I see friends as well, like, loyalty, that's all I look for in a man's word. That nothing, money we make means nothing. A man's word's everything.
That's rare, though.
No one's
rare.
Got their word anymore.
And if I lend you money, and then it fucks up because you didn't do anything wrong, it's just the way it happened, I can be at peace with that. But if I lend you money and you're a scum about it, man is a word, you know? Like, as long as you're the man of your word, you should be good.
People got to be overt. Everyone wants to, like, just avoid people, and it's crazy. Now it's crazy. If you owe a man dough, you owe a man dough. It don't even matter if they drove their car straight through your front door. You owe them dough. You owe them dough, like irrelevant. Minus the cost of the outcomes on the front of the building, you owe them money.
My ex-business partner, he took 70 grand out of the company account. He bust out this company that I was involved with. And it was a good company up until that point. And if he'd have come to me, like, hat in hand, and just said, look, bro, I fucked up. I was addicted to gambling. And I've done this. I would have helped him. But because he snaked me and hid away after... Then it just makes you angry.
Think,
bro, you're a piece of shit.
And I remember he used to come into work. I'd be like, oh, yeah, nice new body. You know, when Moncler was like a rare thing? Moncler Gilet.
I feel like I know and this person.
Nah, he'd gone to...
I've heard about that.
What's his name start with?
He went to the slots, yeah. He went to the slots, one, and he'd splash out, coming with like fresh clothes, this, that, and the other, and then the whole time he's just stealing money and spinning it up and buying stuff to make it look like he's won. It's dumb.
But
it's easy to get into top 10 friends when someone keeps their word and pays back their debts, because it's so rare now, like, to find someone on that level and you could do business with them.
If I owed a man, say, to a relevant amount of money and I went broke the next day, I would still do my utmost to pay him. No, not my utmost, I would pay him I would pay him irrelevant of what happened. I owe a man money.
How mad's this? That kid that we're talking about, he would tell me the bank had X amount of money in the bank. It didn't have any money in the bank, because he would send me an email with the update. Anyway, I'm in Vegas with him, and we were meant to be going to some like exhibition at the end of the trip. And he was on the roulette table playing 200 a number. Anyway, I was looking at him, and I thought he had money at this point. And I was like, what are you doing, Brian? I was like, I'm going up to bed because I was jet lagged. And it was early afternoon at this point. Anyway, he knocked on the door, and he opened the door, and he threw 15 grand in hundreds at me. He's like, you should have stayed at the table. Anyway, this is 7 days.
That's 15 grand he won. What about 100 he lost?
Well, 7 days later, I found out you were 70 in a hole and he hit. Oh, I didn't even see him.
And he still flexed on you like that.
And he still flexed on me.
Still threw the 15
No, and he had taken 70 grand out of our company and he was flexing. Like, should have stayed down 15 grand. Like, bruh, you've lost all this money. And then he had to sell the watch a week later to my friend for 3 grand.
Yeah, I remember that. That was a Hulk. 3 grand he sold the Hulk for. Wow.
Mad, isn't it?
Everything would have green, like anything green back in the day, whether it's cheap.
Anything stainless steel.
I remember saying to you, I said, I wanted that green and gold Daytona. Yeah. It was 22 grand when I wanted it. It's like 65 now. I ain't never going to spend
that. Of course. But see, the thing with watches, they're all, it's an assumption. Everyone says, like, watch dealers, they say, oh, buy this watch. Like, now everyone's talking, the Sprite's going to get discontinued. Now everyone's saying, yeah, buy them. Like, they're saying it to end users, buy the Sprite. But so if they're getting discontinued, why is not all these watch traders got 100 of these watches?
Or hold them. Yes, why would they sell them?
Do you know what it's called in crypto? It's called exit liquidity, where you pump something to price up so that you could pull out.
And then snitch everyone else.
Yeah. Like,
I think I've had that a few times. Yeah.
you see my boy as well. We talked about this in the last EP, but my boy was desperate for an olive, And he's going to go, hey, jewelers, buy it for 75, I go, listen, just wait, want to come up and trade. You're going to save 10K minimum. He's like, no, I need it tomorrow. Anyway, I just go, all right, I found you on 72. Got it for him, The rumor of it being discontinued the week after, bang, 2 weeks later, the watch is now 50K. And he's crying to me. I said, bro, just wait. Let's have patience.
You're going to have to.
Like, that FOMO is crazy, isn't it? That fear of missing out that people create. It gets you every time.
It's the
greed thing.
It'll even make you sell things low. Like, I sold that Daytona for 18. A year later, it's 36.
Yeah.
You know, all because like I was like, I actually thought like, Daytonas could just, the influx could happen anytime and I'm going to give away 9 grand. So I thought they could go back to list, you know?
Yeah, of course. But Daytonas are like the best ones to hold now. But no one knows this as well. Unless you're Rolex or in with the main people that are all making money from them, no one knows this. It's the same with crypto. If you're not in the IDOs when they get the coin, these coins are getting made like shizzes.
That's all I'm in now. IDOs. Yeah, I buy it before it hits the market. Yeah, exactly. And you guarantee, like, if you're on the last bull run, people are doing 800X.
Yeah.
Bro, that's correct. Like 10 grand would take you to like 8 mil. That's crazy. You know what I mean?
Mental, man.
A grand to 800 grand. That was the average multiplier on an IDO. It's crazy.
Now, obviously, I learned about it. 0.
It's like 1 or 10 or whatever.
0.7. You're lucky to get your initial investment.
But I learned about it too. Well, I got into a group, like a big VC, and now that's all I put my money into for the next one. When it comes out, you know, 10x, 20x, 30x, 40x, it'd be normal. You just need to put a couple grand in here and there.
Even a 2x, I'll take. Boom, yeah. Right now, times are hard.
Jump on the Pepe. Jump on the front.
Fuck's sake.
Sweet, guys. It's been a good podcast. How far
are we in? 105 on the dot.
Nice. Been good, guys.
Anyone want to say anything else?
You want to plug yourselves before you go?
To add me on Snapchat, RP Shopping HQ.
You love Snapchat, innit?
It's the one.
What about you, Ellis?
No, I've got nothing to say. I've said it all.
Cheers.
Yeah, that's it. Me too.
James Lake Show, Instagram. Cheers, guys. See you on episode 9.